If you want your sermon outline, you might like to take that out if you want to follow along. As I mentioned earlier, being Father's Day, I just wanted to share a brief message, particularly aimed at men and fathers today, but also ladies are included in this as well. And you can think of, when you saw the title as you came in, looking for real men. Where do we find real men? What do real men look like? What does it take to be a real man? Are you actually born to it? You know, the old story that a person visits a little country village and they ask someone who's lived there their whole life, have any famous men been born here? And the old guy's response was, no, only babies. So great men and women, or real men and women, they're not born, they're made. It's a process. So how do we find real men and women? What does it take to have real men and women? Now, it's been said you can be born a male, but it takes maturity to be a man. That you're young only once, but that you can be immature forever. I could see some wives nodding. I won't point them out, but that's a discussion for another time. So where do we find real men? I saw, being Father's Day this week, lots of Father's Day cards at the shops, and I looked at a couple during the week, and one caught my eye, a very stereotypical card, trying to be funny, said this, real men have phone conversations that don't last beyond 30 seconds. Real men are unable to see wrinkles in clothes. Real men can do Christmas shopping for 25 relatives on December 24th in 30 minutes. Yes, stereotypical. But is that what it means to be a real man? What does it take to be a real man? I want to suggest today that to try to answer this question, we don't find them on TV, we don't find them in secular books or on the internet, but we find them in God's Word. Real men, real women. And I think Psalm 128 gives a picture of that. And particularly being Father's Day, yes, the focus will be on real men and fathers, but it is for all of us. Psalm 128 is a fairly famous psalm. It's called the marriage prayer, and you'll find it either read out or sung at every Jewish wedding. Because God wanted to remind his people, particularly when they came to that great time of marriage, what it means to be real men and real women. So what do we find? Well, verse 1 tells us, blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him. First and foremost, real men and real women are those who walk with God. It says they fear the Lord and who walk in obedience to him. Now, you might say, and for many of you in this room, you might go, yes, I'm a real man, I'm a real woman because I follow Jesus. And for many of you in this room, that's right. And it's great to praise that. But do you notice the second part? It's not just those who fear the Lord, but who walk in obedience to him. So for all of us that wanted to tick that box and said, we're real men, we're real women here today because we follow Jesus, how well do we do at that second part? How well do we do in actually walking in obedience to him? See, it's not just talking about how we walk on Sunday here at church, but when we're in our own homes, when we're at work, when we're at school, when we play sport or whatever it might be, do we walk in obedience to him then? I want you to, and you might think, yeah, I do that. So I want you to think about it in another way. What will your children, what will your grandchildren remember about you when you've gone? I want you to think about that for a moment. What will they remember about you? Today being Father's Day, what do you remember about your own fathers? Now, is it, because when we start to think about that, when we start to think about what our children or grandchildren might remember, it's not what they got for Christmas last year. If I asked my children what they got for Christmas last year, they probably couldn't tell me. But what they could tell me is what my character is like. See, when we are gone, what they hold on to is who we are. They hold on to our character. They hold on to how we lived our life. They hold on to what we stand for. Can our children and our grandchildren say that we stand for God? That we live for God? That when we face the ups and downs in life, that we never waver in following God? Can they say that about us? Because that's a real man and a real woman. That's what we leave to our children and to our grandchildren. And maybe here today, thinking about that godly impression that we leave on them, you're thinking, yes, Stephen, I try my best. I struggle with it. How can I do it better? And I think all of us, even if we think we've made it, need to think about how we can do it better. Well, God's given us His word. Now, today, for some of you fathers or grandfathers, you might receive gifts and things. And for some of those gifts, it might have come with instruction manuals. The Bible is like an instruction manual. You know, it's God's love letter to us that tells us how He wants us to live. He tells us how to be real men, how to be real women. And it talks there, you walk in obedience to Him. How do we know what He wants us to do unless we're reading it? So do we take the time to read His word and to learn from it so we can walk in obedience to Him, so we can make choices to put Him first, so we can make choices that our character is a godly character, that we're real men and real women for God, that our children and our grandchildren can see. Can they see that in us? But it's more than that, this psalm says. Real men, real women, you know, they're not afraid of hard yakka. They're not afraid of work. Look at verse 2. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Now, this is written to a society where if you didn't work, you didn't eat. But the picture here is not just physical yakka. It's not just talking about physical hard work. See, I think many of you in this room would have think that, yes, we've worked hard in life. Yeah, with that physical work, we've done that. But it's talking a bit more than that. It's talking about spiritual hard yakka. You know, it's talking about, you know, this whole idea of you eat the fruit of your labor, that what you sow, you reap. We know that physically in our world. But do you see it spiritually as well? See, Paul takes up this same argument in the letter of Galatians where he talks about spiritually as a believer sowing the seed of God's word and then what the reaping of that might be. But how well do we do when we think about being real men and women, if it's following God, if it's living in obedience with God, if it's spiritually doing things for God? How well do we do that? You know, maybe as a man here this morning or as a father, you might think, well, yes, I agree, we need to spiritually, you know, share with our children, our grandchildren and so forth. But that's my wife's job. Well, do you remember what we looked at a few weeks ago in 1 Corinthians 11? When we looked at how God gave us authority and who had authority, who had responsibility. And He talked about God, He talked about Christ, He talked about man and husbands and then women and wives. You see, when it comes to authority in our homes and responsibility, man, it's not our wives' job. the spiritual hard yakka starts with us. What impression are we making on our children and grandchildren? Now, when you reap what you sow, they reap what you sow. What are you reaping? What are they reaping today? Let me share a true story with you. It's about a young boy who grew up in a Jewish family in Germany. He had this profound admiration for his father and for the Jewish religion. Their whole life revolved around the synagogue, and their faith was the most important part. But as a teenager, they had to move house into another part of Germany because the father needed work. And when they moved into the new town, this young teenager got really confused because his father stopped going to the synagogue. They started going to a more fashionable Lutheran church just down the road. And he asked his father, he said, "Dad, why have you turned your back on being a Jew? Why have you made us go to the Lutheran church and turned our back on our faith?" And his father's response was, "Attending that church will be good for business. I'll be able to make contacts there. I'll be able to rub shoulders with some of the most important people in town, and it will set us up for life." The way they went home after church that day, the boy later testified that that was the day he lost total respect for his father. Each day he started looking around the world that things had to be different, that the world didn't need religion, that this problem of religion that people were willing just to give up for money was wrong. So he conceived this idea of a new world order, a new movement that could change and fix that issue. Do you know the young boy's name? A very famous Jew. He wrote a very famous book, Karl Marx, the father of communism. Communism started because a boy lost respect for his father. It started because he lost respect for his father who turned his back on his faith. You see, our children, they don't want to see real men and real women, mums and dads, grandparents who are into religion. They want to see real people who have a real relationship with Jesus. That's what he wanted to see. That's what we all need to see. That's what our kids, our grandchildren need to see. But what do they see? I want you to stop for a moment and take a moment to think, do you ever picture a future for your children or grandchildren? I think many of us do. I've been blessed having all my children home this last week. The two girls came home from uni for a couple of days. And it's easy when you're sharing with them in their life and how they're experiencing life at the moment that you do continue to think about their futures. And I want you to think about what you are doing if you're thinking about their futures. And then look at verse 2 again. "You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours." Our children and our grandchildren, all of us, our lives are in God's hands. Yeah, God has a plan. But do you notice what that verse says? What you do, the choices you make, actually affects your future and their future. You will eat the fruit of your labor. What's their future going to be like when we think about the impact we're having in their life? The future we would love them to have. Now, knowing Jesus and living for Jesus and the other parts of life, when you think about your impact on them today, are we actually adding towards that? See, that's the hard yakka here. And it is hard, isn't it? Not just the physical yakka of thinking, oh, isn't it great I'm providing for my family? They've got money, they've got a house, they've got a roof over their head, they've got food on the table. Great. But spiritually, How are we doing with that? Now, one of the ways I think, you know, I mentioned earlier, we often struggle with prayer in our daily lives, and I think that's true. I think particularly for men, one of the areas we do really struggle with is actually praying for our children. Now, talking to a couple of men during the week, and this was, you know, I don't do that. That's what my wife does. But it's something we should be doing. It's never too early or too late to pray for our children. Now, some of you might be thinking here, particularly the men, that I'm drawing a bit of a long bow here when we look at Psalm 128 saying we need to be doing more in our homes. But look at verse 3. Because sometimes I think we can think, you know, for our children to hear about Jesus and to have that spiritual hard yakka, that's for the church to do. That's for chat. That's for school scripture to do, or a kids club or something like that. All great ministries. But do you realize to be real men and women for God, it starts in the home. Verse 3 says this, "Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table." Now we look at this verse and we scratch our heads and think, oh, what is God trying to say here? But to the Jewish people, these words would have rang very true, very easily for them. See, the picture here of a vine and an olive plant, what do they have in common? For you agriculturists out there, you'd probably have an immediate answer. They need to be cultivated to be healthy. And they need to be supported, don't they? Vines can't grow by themselves. They need to lean against a wall. They need to be on a lattice work or something like that. They can be very fruitful, but they need support. They need to be cultivated at times to cut off the dead leaves and other bits so they grow in a healthy way. For the men here today, for our husbands, our fathers, do our wives feel that support? Do they feel protected from the storms of life when we can? Or do they feel that they're standing alone? See, the call and part of the reason why this psalm was always read out and sung at Jewish weddings was so that both men and women, the husband and wife, could understand that they needed each other. They needed to look out for each other. And the picture here of the olive plant, an olive plant grows very, very slowly. It needs to be constantly cultivated, but it can yield fruit for up to 800 years. But again, it needs support. It needs cultivation, it needs help to grow. Do we see our children like that? That our children, do they get the support from us? Do they get the encouragement from us so that they can grow and be fruitful for 800 years? That's the challenge of why it being a real man and a real woman begins at home. Now, maybe today, for some of the men here, you're thinking, Stephen, I'd love to be a dad like this, but I don't know how. I never had that example. I never had that model of a dad who did this. And I understand. I was there in this situation. But it is something that we can be different. In a sense, we can break the mold. It is something today where we can make a choice to be different for our children and our grandchildren. See, the whole question today about being a real man or a real woman, it's a choice that each of us in this room can make. But will we? We can't blame it on our own parents. We can't blame it on society. We can't blame it on those around us. This is a choice that we have to make. See, I believe today, focusing particularly on men, that our world needs us. Our world needs real godly men. Our wives need godly men. Our children need it. Our church needs it. Our businesses need it. Our community, our nation needs each of us to be a godly man. Will you answer that call today? So I heard it said this way. God has ordained three great institutions on earth: the home, the government, and the church. The oldest is which? The home. The greatest is the home. The church is a great institution, but it's only as great as our homes. Our nation can be great. We probably think at the moment it could be greater, but it's only as great, I think, as our churches. Do we want a great nation? Yes. Then we need great churches. Do we want a great church? Yes. Then we need great families. Do we want great families? Yes. Then we need real men and women to stand up for our children and our grandchildren. Are we willing to do that for God today? Are we willing, more importantly, to do it for our children and our grandchildren? And for some of you who think, I don't have any children or grandchildren, my family's a long way away, we got a bunch of beautiful kids up the back. Each of us can be a real man and a real woman for them. Will we do that for them? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you. We thank you that even when we make mistakes, even when we're sinners and we fail you, even when we fail at times our wives and our children, Father, we thank you that you forgive us. Lord, even if we've made many mistakes, help us to make the right choice today with your help. Lord, may we be the real men and the real women that they need to see. May we fear you and walk in obedience with you, not just on a Sunday, but every day, in every situation. Lord, let us, as we live for you, be the character that our children and our grandchildren remember about us. And then later, may they try to live like that too. And we pray for this today in your name. Amen.